Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and this program is on the air live right now. We're here to talk about how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call now. We want you to be a part of this edition at 1-800-677-9377. Let's talk about how the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Don't wait. Call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Had a wonderful conversation with one of our listeners in South Texas who listens to the broadcast, listens to radio all day long. She's, in her home trying to recover from a hip accident. And, she made a comment to me. She said, I listen all day long and I don't hear a lot of joy on various radio broadcasts. And I said, that is so interesting. And I think that's a sign that we're not free. I think when we have experienced the freedom of the Lord, I think joy is one of those expressions mm-hmm. of freedom.
It's a byproduct.
Yes, absolutely. So, it just made me think of all the Christians out there. And you don't see a lot of joy out there in the Christian world. You see some righteous indignation. You see some anger. You see scowls on faces. You see all sorts of things. But joy is one of those things that you don't see a lot of. And I think it's because we're not really free in Christ. And the reason we're not free in Christ is because we're bound up with some error. There's something in our thinking that's not right, not consistent with the truth of the Word of God. Maybe we believe that our salvation is up to us. God did His part, now we have to do our part. So we're walking around, on eggshells, just wondering if we're doing enough for God, if we're praying enough, if we're giving enough. Or we may be bound up by the opinions of others. We think their opinion of us is very important, and we have to live up to what their expectations are. Or we believe that God is requiring us to live up to, all of His expectations, and He's just so exacting with His demands that we, even when we feel like we've done our best, we still don't measure up.
Right.
It could be emotions, our own fears, our own guilt. But we're bound up. And when we're bound up, we can't express joy. Well, Jesus Christ has come to set us free so that we can truly experience joy in our lives. And that freedom comes through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He's alive, folks, and He's alive living in us. And He's loving us right now, and as we respond to that, we can truly experience the love of God. So if you're struggling in your Christian life, if you're holding on to things, if you believe that Christianity is all up to you, your salvation rests upon your shoulders, call. Let's talk about it. 1-800-677-9377 is the number.
That's toll-free all across the country, and especially right here in the United States and Canada. I guess that it's part of the country. 1-800-677-9377. Lots of open lines right now. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, let's go to Joe listening to us on WVNE. Listening, where are you? Ashburnham, Mass? Is that correct?
Yes, it's Ashburnham.
Okay.
Ashburnham. If it was in England, though, it would be Ashburnham, like you said.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking the English pronunciation of that.
Yeah, in other words, we were clueless, Joe.
That's right. That's right.
I went to England one time and with my wife, and I said, let's go to a little town called Ashburnham. And we went there, and they were saying Ashburnham. Anyways, I've been listening to you guys, but my wife and I in the car every day, we go for a ride, and we'll get an ice cream cone, and we always put you on, and we love you, and your answers, your Bible, praise the Lord. Now, my question is that, basically, is that, in Peter, and also first, Jonas, the book of Revelation, that the earth is going to be done over, will be renewed, with fire, Peter 35, with the water that was with Noah's time, and God promises no more water, so He's going to do it over with fire, which means He's going to wipe everything out in the earth and start a brand new earth, and then heaven's going to come down and hover over the earth. Fine. But my question is that the seed of Adam and Abraham is going to be on the earth. In other words, the they're going to be in the new earth. But where do they come from if everything was wiped out?
Well, Joe, as far as, you know, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to bring those who have died in Christ. He's going to bring those with him, and those that remain on earth that, know Christ, they're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be the occupants of this new earth. You see in the last chapter of Revelation, this new Jerusalem coming down. And it's not really a city, it's the actual dwelling place of God, and we are that dwelling place of God. So I think we're going to be the inhabitants of the people of God are going to be the inhabitants of the earth. Richard, do you have any?
I agree with that. There's people on the earth, and when the final end comes, the saved people are withheld from any judgment. The lost people are wiped out. So Satan is wiped out, the beast, you know, the false prophet, all those symbolic and real beings, all of the lost, the dead, are cleaned out, and a new heavens and a new earth replace it, and we get to live there, the saved people.
That's fine, and I go along with you people. You know, I really, but I still, it doesn't explain, because Peter says the earth is going to be melted with a fervent fire. You know, it could be an A-bomb, atomic explosion, and so forth, and that God is going to make he's going to make the earth new again. That connotates everything's going to be new, new animals, new whatever God's going to recreate or whatever. But it kind of infers to me is that humanity, because of that's why God's going to wipe it all out, because it's going to be, even when Jesus comes and rules with an iron fist for 1,000 years, even after, there's a 3.5-year war with Satan and so forth. In other words, man can't be really changed without the grace of God. We know that now. But it refers to me that if everything is made new because of this fire, then God's going to make a new Adam, a new Eve, which would be fine. But then again, because of Abraham, especially, God promised him that his seed will remain, will be here. But it still doesn't say, where does he come up with the new man? As a matter of fact,
well, the new man is Christ himself. I mean, Jesus is the new Adam, and he's our, you know, his resurrection was the announcement of new. So this new creation is already in the works. Jesus is the first one of that. We have come next, and then there's going to be a total restoration of everything. So Jesus Christ has become this second Adam, and the seed of Abraham is Christ. We see that in the book of Galatians, and so all those who are in Christ become the inhabitants of this new heaven and new earth.
Yeah. Don't think of it in terms of genetics. Think of it in terms of God speaking a brand new thing into existence, including us. I mean, I say us, but it's not going to be me as I'm sitting here in the studio. I'm going to be changed completely because God's going to speak that change into my life, just like he does for every saved person. It's a completely, utterly new thing.
Well, Joe,
Is that's okay, but the point being is that he can't, because we will have a heavenly body, all the people in Christ that do return are going to have a spiritual body. You know what Jesus said, there is no marrying, intermarrying, and so forth. So where are you able to produce more seed from the seed of Adam? See, in other words, you know what I'm saying? In other words, we're going to be here, yes, the rule and reign, and we'll always be with Jesus. He said, where I am, you will be. I know that, but where is this new human being going to be produced from if the seed of Adam around the earth has been destroyed for God to make this new earth?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The Bible actually doesn't say how it's going to work. We just are told that whatever we have now, however we understand life now, is going to change completely because there will be a new heavens and a new earth, and that new heavens and new earth includes brand new humanity, whatever it looks like, and that's where we have to leave it.
Yeah. Well, Joe, thanks for the great question.
Yes, indeed.
Enjoy that ice cream.
Okay, and God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Sure appreciate it. Yeah. All right, bye-bye.
Well, great to hear from our listeners, and we'd love to hear from you, friends. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open, plenty of time on the clock. If you have something you'd like to discuss or add to the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question by email from Paul. This concerns 1 Peter 2, verses 20 and 21, and then James chapter 4, verse 17. He says, what is your take on those two passages of Scripture? Again, 1 Peter 2, 20, 21, and James 4, 17. Questions like this come up all the time in Bible studies we conduct in the local county correctional system. Thanks a lot, and God bless. That's from Paul in Marion, Illinois.
Well, as far as 2 Peter is concerned, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, it talks about those, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true, a dog returns to its vomit and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. This whole chapter is about false prophets, but there were also false prophets among the people. And so he simply describes in this chapter the very nature of false prophets. He describes their schemes and their mechanisms of trying to lure people away from truth, what their real aim is, what their real goal is, what their real desire is, and then what their destination will be. And so it's a very clear picture. And it's a warning to us that we need to be aware that just as false prophets existed back in that day, there are false prophets today. So we need some discernment as believers. We need to be able to kind of look through what somebody is saying to us. We need to be able to take what they're saying, bounce it off the Word of God, and make a determination if what they're saying is true or if it's not true. And if it's not true, to have the courage to reject it. So that's what 2 Peter is all about. We like to look at verse 21. See, somebody can lose their salvation. Well, he's not talking about believers. He's talking about false prophets. They were given the way of righteousness, but they rejected it. And so because they rejected it, it was worse for them than if they had never known. And it's going to be awful for them when they realize that that ray of righteousness is the way they should have taken.
Sure.
But they're trying to lure others away from that way of righteousness. So, you know, they're like dogs that return to their vomit. That's just their nature.
Right.
So that's what he's talking about there. And what do you have, James 4:17?
It says, let me get it. I had it. I lost it. There we go. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Well, this again is in a wider context. Every one of us knows we ought to behave differently. I mean, we're not stupid about sin. We know that we're sinning. Mm-hmm. We know that there is good that we ought to do and we can't do it. And the only solution is to quit playing the good and evil game and to admit that we're dead and need life and to let the Holy Spirit come and dwell in us. And this is the ongoing argument James is having with his Jewish readers. They've sat down and they said, well, we're special because we're Jews and now we're saved. He's saying, no, you're not saved because you're Jews. You're saved because you've accepted Jesus Christ, right. And that is a life-changing reality.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate hearing those of you who write to us by email to pose your question. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me, Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Friends, our newest product, Gateway to Grace, addresses the issue we all sometimes experience, and that of just going through the motions every day. You know, you can break free of fear and guilt, and you can find much more out of life and let the powerful truth that's in this series swing the door open to a life of freedom and genuine love in God, for God and for others. Gateway to Grace can offer you a clear path. For a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel during the month of July, we will send you this excellent resource, and it's yours if you go online to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Nashua, New Hampshire, and talk to Elizabeth listening to us on WDER. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello. God bless you.
Well, thank you. Welcome to the program. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a bunch of Catholic people in my life. I used to be a Catholic, but I really didn't never went to church. But that's 95% of Catholics right there. And I was wondering, you know, ever since I've been saved 5 years ago, I've been trying to bring the people that I love to Christ, because back when I was a so-called Catholic who never went to church, I thought I was, you know, God's child and saved, but I was deceived, okay? And there's a lot of people who are so-called, quote, Catholics, and they don't go to church, and somehow they think they're saved, too. They're Christians. They go around telling people they're Christians. And that this is relatives in my life, mother-in-law, father-in-law, and stuff. Now, people get self-deceived like this so easily, and they just are so blind, you know, they're not saved, and they're self-deceived. But as soon as I have them in my house, you know, I try, you know, I have a nice time, a dinner, or whatever, and then I try to just ease my way over to a talk of the Word of God, eventually, as the night goes by, 2 hours later. So I'm not pushy, and I give them time to talk about what they want to talk about, and then after all the patience has run out, finally I say, well, you know what? Because now we're talking about God and good people and how much good people that they are and everything. And I said, well, if the Catholics were to really obey the Bible, they would not call anyone their father on earth, because Jesus himself commanded all men to call no man on earth their father, for we have one Father in heaven, and he is the Holy Father. But yet the Catholics call their Pope Holy Father. Now, as soon as you bring things up like this, people start squirming and acting like, you know, someone just poured acid on the cockroaches or whatever. Now they're all squirming. They want to run, and they're going to go hide. And is this the typical reaction that you get when you try to bring up something that is basically the truth and what Jesus said in the Bible, and then now people are all hectic and angry, and they're
well,
all...
Well, Elizabeth, we all have our rituals, our traditions that we cling to. And those are important because they give us a sense of security that everything is okay. And when somebody starts to mess with those things, anybody gets defensive. It doesn't matter if it's somebody with some of their Catholic traditions or if it's a Protestant with some of their Protestant traditions. You know, the Protestants are just, you know, can have their traditions just like anybody else. So it's not, you know, just isolated there. So what I like to do in those situations is to try to move away from those type of issues and try to address heartfelt issues. You know, even though you're a good Catholic, a good Protestant, a good this, do you ever feel empty inside? Do you ever feel like that something's missing? Do you ever feel like that there's just something wrong with you? Even though you're doing what your church says that you need to do, do you feel like there's still something that's not quite right? Well, if so, then Jesus has an answer, and that's why I said you must be born again. And we're dead spiritually. The reason why we feel like something's wrong is because we're dead spiritually. We're separated from God. And there's no ritual, there's no thing that we can do to bridge that gap. That has to be bridged by Jesus Christ himself. And when we come to him, we receive life. So I try to move the conversation away from those things that, you know, are going to draw the fist up and they're ready for a fight, and try to move it to something where they can look beyond that and say, you know, well, here's what's really going on in my heart. And when they can really talk about that, then you have a chance to say, well, here's how the gospel relates. Here's how the gospel intersects with that issue.
Oh, Yes. I've been saved 5 years now, and for 5 years I've been trying and all kinds of things. So I have tried that method. And what I got on that response was, well, this born-again nonsense. You know, you're bringing up this born-again stuff, and I'm tired of hearing the born-again stuff, okay? Well, that's your religion, they usually say.
Yeah.
That's your Pentecostal stuff, so leave that out of here. And then you try to tell them, no, this is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus has commanded in the Bible.
Well, the other thing, Elizabeth, is this. Sometimes we, get disappointed with those conversations because the results aren't what we would like them to be. Just leave the results in the Lord's hands. Just keep sharing the good news. Keep sharing Christ. Keep telling people that God has taken away their sins, that there's no more sacrifice for sins, that He's offering them new life in Christ. And leave the results of that in God's hands. You've made yourself available to the Lord. You've opened up your mouth. You've shared the good news. Now just leave that in God's hands. And I think that would be, a great thing to do. Kind of takes the burden off your shoulders.
Well, amen to that.
Okay.
Because they don't talk to me anymore. As a matter of fact, it's been almost a year. They don't want to hear it. This is their quote. They don't want to hear it. So I don't push myself on them. There's no relationship. Yeah. And
I understand. I've gotten that a number of times. So
yeah.
So they're not rejecting you, and that's the good thing. They're not rejecting you. They just don't want to hear truth. So they will at some point. Just be available. Well, thanks for your call, Elizabeth.
Well, thank you for that.
Okay.
Well, guys, let's close the program with a question from Scott, he says, you have described some as having not realized that they are forgiven and are living oppressed by sin. I can never live up to God's standard. Isn't there a verse somewhere that says your prayers will not be heard if you're not in good standing with God? I feel like I'm unable to pray for my friends and relatives sometimes, most of the time, in fact. Thanks for your thoughts. That's from Scott.
Well, sin did cause a separation between God and man. That was the nature of sin. We see that in vivid detail right at the beginning of the Bible. You know, when Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, that was indicating a separation. That was indicating spiritual death. And God was so concerned about that, he wanted to make that point so clear, He put angels in front of the entry back into the garden so Adam and Eve couldn't return. So yes, sin caused a separation, but Jesus Christ has bridged that gap. He has taken away the sin issue once and for all. He judged it. He dealt with it. He condemned it. He took the punishment for it so that we could be set free. So if you're in Christ, that sacrifice has removed all of your sins. Your sins have been forgiven. You are seen as righteous in the sight of God. You have a new identity. You've been declared a child of God. And you are invited to enter into the very throne, the presence of God, with confidence and boldness. There's nothing standing in your way. If you think there is, that's in your own mind. Right. When you come to truth, you realize it's all gone, and you have confidence to enter in.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Bob and Richard, for your input on this particular broadcast, and thanks to all of you for joining us. Say, if you're social media savvy, we hope that you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, @BasicGospelRDO. And thanks to all of those of you who support Basic Gospel to keep this program on the air every day with liberating truth. To show our appreciation for your generous gift this month, we'll send you our newest CD series called Gateway to Grace, 6 messages including a study guide to help you see the truth about our religious traditionalism and open the door for you to experience God's love and grace and how it can impact your life every day. For a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, we'll send you this excellent resource. To get yours, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with Billy at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Now for Bob and Richard and the entire staff at Basic Gospel, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again Monday at the same time for another live edition. And we hope to hear from you on Basic Gospel. In the meantime, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.